Hello, you're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. Because it's more fun to believe.
Hey everybody, welcome to another experience of Me and Paranormal You. My buddy, my psycho-spiritual counselor, friend of the program, Mark Barone is here. Thanks for joining me, Mark.
Yeah. My pleasure, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so it is, I believe, if the timestamp is correct in my mind, 1:47 a.m. on Tuesday morning when I was still awake. So for those of us normal people, we would just consider that late Monday night, you know, instead of the early Tuesday morning thing. I received the email about we had a session booked for today.
Yeah.
And you said, should we record this and talk about everything that's happening right now? And I was like, that's a great idea. So that's what we're going to do. And we're just kind of flying by the seat of our pants. For those who don't know Mark in the way I do, you know that Mark likes to be prepared for things. And previously, when we've done interviews, Mark is, you know, will request, okay, send me over some talking points that we're going to get into, which is, I guess, you know, the way you professionally would do a podcast and conduct an interview. But today, Mark is getting pushing himself out of his comfort zone in this regard. And we're just going to kind of see what happens because it is approximately 5:30 Eastern time, 2:30 West Coast time where both of us are located. On obviously the election day of what most would consider the election between Trump and Biden, even though there are other presidential candidates who most people probably don't even know their names. So, and many people have claimed that this is the biggest election of anyone's lifetime, which seems to be a common theme every 4 years. You'll hear that. That doesn't make it any less true. I suppose. So I know I personally have been feeling since I woke up today an extreme level of anxiety and uneasiness and just heaviness. And, you know, my go-to is to be like, what's going on with me? You know, what's happening with me? And then, you know, failing to have the bigger picture of understanding what we're truly looking at here is the culmination of 4 years of all kinds of extreme energy that has been solely focused onto this particular day. Yeah. 4 years, that's a lot. I mean, imagine meditating for 4 years on anything in your life and giving it a day to where it must manifest. That's a pretty intense way to go about things, right? Would you agree?
Fucking pressure there.
Yeah, a ton of pressure. So it has become, this is a can of beans that has been cooking on the bonfire for 4 years. For anybody who's ever gone camping as a kid and gone to bonfires, and you know that the can explodes after a while because there's too much pressure. And the beans will fly everywhere. So many people are anticipating, maybe rightfully, that the beans are going to be exploding everywhere at some point tonight or in the next few days. I'm curious if there's any real way that you've found to be able to differentiate, and I know empaths deal with this constantly, the anxiety of the world that we internalize and the internal anxiety that we have separate from the outside world. I mean, although, you know, the outside world obviously factors into why we have anxiety on the inside, but do you know what I mean by the difference there?
Absolutely. So I would say one way to begin that process is meditation. Right. So kind of beginning to observe what's happening with the self, beginning to observe how you're feeling, what you're thinking, where your imagination goes to, all those different things, and beginning that process of observation of what's happening, so that you're able to kind of step away from that drama, right? Like today, there's so much energy flying around. There has been, like, I mean, pretty much the whole year, right? And before that, but it seems like it's been really intensified this year, and it is at this kind of peak moment today. And so there's that reality of knowing that there's all this energy happening, but also that we're kind of these filters, right? So the information kind of comes in, and then we kind of sit with it and figure out what it means to us, and then kind of shine that light back out. I don't know if that made any sense, but I think what I'm saying is that meditation can help to, again, to begin to have clarity around what it is that we're actually feeling through that process of kind of observation, and also by getting into our bodies, right? So connecting with our breath, connecting with our heart center, feeling the energy there.
Yeah, and there's a definite connection to self that is important in understanding all the things that we're feeling. I mean, it sounds so simple to say, when in practice it can be quite difficult for people, when we're, especially myself, I get caught up. I mean, I get caught up, and sometimes I'll get caught up and I'll be like saying things that I'm like, I don't think that really. Why would I even say that shit, right? My partner and I were having a discussion last night about, you know, some political things, and I'm like, why am I like being a bastard in some ways, right? And it's like, you know, the trying to filter out all of the outside energies that are coming in, mm-hmm. and trying to leech on to my own, you know, my own perspective. I almost feel like, you know, like the barnacles on a whale, like all these outside forces want to just attach themselves to us to get power from us, essentially.
Yeah. So part of this, I think, is acknowledging that we're kind of like these receptive beings, right? So we're kind of like, I just kind of had the image of like a radio receiver or whatever, right? So picking up all these signals, right? So acknowledging that, yeah, some of these thoughts that come in, it's like, wait, that wasn't me. Wait, what the fuck was that? Where did that come from? So, you know, that idea that, yeah, we are kind of tapped into this collective, all this collective energy, right? Like all of it. And we get used to kind of our way of being that feels like it's normal and makes sense. So then we tune into those signals more than we tune into other ones, right? So I'm sure anybody can kind of recognize this if they, you know, if they like hear a song from an artist that you've never heard of before, right? And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, this whole other world opens up of the music of this person. And then all of a sudden you start seeing it everywhere. Like all of a sudden you go on Spotify and you're like, oh, well, that was there like the whole time, this album, but I never listened to it. And now it's like, you just start to see these things, right? When your energy goes to something, I guess some people refer to it as where the mind goes, the energy flows, or something like that, which is kind of cheesy, but
yeah, it makes sense.
It's pretty true. So I think, yeah, part of it is acknowledging that how receptive we are. I think that's what a lot of people have become aware of, especially in most recent years. You mentioned empaths, right? So that's something that people are way more aware of now. Like there was no, when you and I were youngsters, right? There was no one was talking about that. I mean, maybe they were somewhere, but like it wasn't in our culture, right? And you being the sensitive crab that you are, you always could tell that you had that receptivity. I think even you mentioned something about the first time I was on the podcast, I think you mentioned something about your father referring to you as like talking about how you felt things more than other people, something like that. So he could kind of see that and you could know that about yourself, but there was wasn't kind of built into our culture. Like, what do you do if you are in tune with that sensitivity? Like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I'll never forget. We were sitting in the car in the driveway. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what prefaced it.
Yeah.
But he said something along the lines of, you know, Ryan, you just feel the pain of the entire world. You know, basically you feel more than other people do. You feel the pain of other people more than others do. And I wish I could remember why he even said that to me, but but it struck me as, you know, it struck me as profound when he said it to me. I mean, I might've been 8 years old. Who knows? I think. Or maybe, you know, I was that young age. I definitely wasn't like a full on teenager at that point. But there is a struggle that all of us, even when we're trying our damnedest and, you know, trying to maintain, you know, balance and, you know, peaceful, loving energy, it's easy to get dragged down into that shit. And every once in a while, like you said, like these antenna, it's like, sometimes I'm like, wait, I need to change the station here. What am I even broadcasting? And I'm not going to act like there's not a charge. There's not some kind of juice in broadcasting some different shit every once in a while, because they'll get, you know, give me a little charge on the inside. Like, yeah, I said that shit. It's like, serve what? To serve for what purpose does it serve? I can be a little too hard on myself and be like, oh, you're a fucking idiot, or oh, you failed again. What a surprise. You know, it's like, okay, we don't have to, and that's a whole nother level of like, okay, well, we can stop the pile on here.
Singered it.
Yeah. I singered it again. Ah, shit. Yeah. Right before we were recording, you brought up something that I think would be really fun to, fun might be a weird word to use here, but I think it speaks to the overarching theme of what we've experienced in the last, especially it's been brought to the forefront anyway in the last few years. Yeah. And that is the idea of masculinity and what that means and how we're seeing it play out and what is the ideal future of the role masculinity plays in the world around us, in our own lives, politics, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, so many thoughts I'm having right now. But yeah, definitely want to get into that. But I think we've kind of been talking about that already in a lot of ways. That experience of sensitivity as a young boy, as someone, you know, that was born and identifies as male, and having that sense of sensitivity, that way of being in tune with the sensitivity, and also enough to where other people were recognizing that, your father seeing that. And I think that's really part of what has been suppressed, you know, kind of collectively is that sensitivity, because it is, as your father said, you know, feeling the pain of the world. Like, for one thing, people don't want to feel pain, right? they also don't want to really, in a lot of ways, I think that's what's emerging too, is people are have recognized and advocated for the ability to express suffering, you know, to actually suffer, that's not a stigma to be suffering from something. I think that that's something that people have kind of disowned, you know, that sense of, oh, you know, I can just not feel so that I don't have to suffer, and that I can just go about, you know, doing the things that, quote, I'm supposed to do in life. And yeah, so I feel like I'm really wandering today with my talking, but
well, I know it is easy to check out, and the desire to check out of, and you know, in regards to feeling suffering, different people have different methods of checking out, and you know, or we can call it, I guess, coping mm-hmm. with the suffering. And avoidance is a huge tool when it comes to, you know, trying to avoid, you know, and trying to not feel that suffering. And I'm not going to sit here and act like it's not an attractive option, you know, almost every time, to think about just checking out. I made the joke last night about, like, hey, just put me on Valium for the next, you know, 4 years, and then, you know, move my muscles for me so I don't lose my coordination, and then just wake me up and tell me what day it is, or you know, and then hopefully the world is mm-hmm. balanced itself out by then. And I mean, it's a joke, but at the same time, I'm not going to act like it's not an appealing idea 4 years ago as well, to if someone could have just knocked me out for this 4 years, and then just gave me a, you know, the cliff notes on what's happened after it's all fucking done, you know, mm-hmm. but I would have missed so much along the way. And focusing only on that suffering can be real detrimental to being able to appreciate all the gifts that were along the way, especially, you know, inside of the fire. You know, what other things were forged other than the fear of being burned by the flames?
Yeah, the suffering is that raw kind of prima materia that we can transform, you know, into enlightenment, you know, into gold, if we look at it alchemically. I think part of what I was speaking to earlier as well is just that the being sensitive and feeling and being open and being vulnerable have all been identified as, in a general sense, I would say, as feminine. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And, you know, boys don't cry, boys don't show emotions, etc.
Yeah. And so as we're talking about what is, you know, what do we want for masculinity to look like in the future? A healthy masculinity, one that is, one that can protect, but also one that likes for people to be free, one that's joyful, one that's in tune with humor, one that recognizes that we do have those kind of Mars-like impulses. So earlier you were talking about, like, you know, Venus and love, and then also you would notice that you know you have this part of you that wants to kind of express yourself in kind of an intense way, right? So often I think that shows up as conflict, right? So something that I've been really conscious of you know, recently is just that it seems like a lot of people really want to fight. You know, they're just on all, you know, in all directions, people are just like, they want to fight. And it makes sense because we do have that part of ourselves. We could connect that with, you know, kind of the energy of Mars, which is that kind of masculine, active, expressive energy that can sometimes show up as conflict, but it can also be expressed in, you know, a different way. I mean, I can spontaneously dance around this room and swing my arms in different places and kick my legs around and stuff like that. And that's kind of the same energy, consciously kind of expressed, instead of, you know, seeing a comment that somebody made online and then, you know, wanting to kind of argue with them about it or something.
Yeah, the period of talking and conversing has definitely passed for a lot of people, where they've moved into the, I want to fight about this. And that is, and I would agree, we've seen a ton of that, especially lately. That seems to be the default mode for a lot of people. Like, here's something I want to fight with you about, as opposed to talk to you about. And, you know, and I do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's like, oh, am I starting a fight or starting a conversation? And the difference between the two has become, I think, blurred for so many of us because of the heightened pressurized state that we've been in for so long. And, you know, it's fascinating to me, like, how people will behave under prolonged periods of distress and pressure. And, you know, I have always kind of thought this is how you really see what you're made of. Mm-hmm. If you can go through these prolonged periods of, you know, of trouble and of challenge and still rise above it and maintain, like, you know, I guess it speaks a lot to something we've talked about, just, you know, privately, is equanimity. And I don't know if equanimity also taps into, well, it seems like it's probably both, but it definitely has, you know, the masculine draws, you know, healthy masculinity draws on equanimity. You know, when I think of it, the imagery is like being able to stand strong, mm-hmm. face challenges, dig deep, and have the willpower to get through things when they don't seem like the outcome is going to be possible or plausible. But yet you continue to push through. And I think that's, you know, I don't know, it feels like that could be something to draw upon the masculine side that would be beneficial, mm-hmm. you know, in a healthy way when it comes to these challenges.
Yeah, well, so, you know, one positive masculine trait is strength. And I think that that's been really distorted for a long time into oppression, right? Into oppressing other people with somebody's strength, right? And like the idea of having to like police people, right? It's like you can't, just this kind of idea that, oh, I can't really trust people, so I need to, you know, I need to not extend them any freedoms, right? Or only the freedoms that I think, you know, is just enough that they can handle, as opposed to like, I'm confident with who I am. And if I need to protect myself, I have the resources to do that, but that's not what I'm leading with. I'm leading with my heart, right? So I think that's what's been missing for a long time from this template of masculinity, you know, is the idea of being open to other people and, you know, being generous. And again, you know, kind of trusting people. So an image came to me a while ago that I drew, which, you know, was kind of like this masculine symbol of like an anchor, right? So an anchor is this really hard, solid material, right? And in front of that anchor, I put a heart. So it's like, you know that, you know, behind the heart is this confidence and this strength, but there's also that heart that connects with other people and wants to help strengthen and nourish other people and wants to see them happy. And so again, it's not this, you know, kind of oppressive, you know, telling people what to do, or like, I know what you're supposed to be like, so this is the way you're supposed to be, and if you're not, then you're going to be punished in some way, as opposed to knowing that we are all connected. Other people are reflections of us, and you know, the happier you are, the happier I can be. It's not a situation where your sadness equals, you know, my happiness. This idea of people losing or people winning. It's the idea that, you know, everybody can and should have access to what they need to live a life in the way that they want to. So yeah, I feel like it is those qualities. We're talking about sensitivity before, the qualities that have been seen as, you know, counter to masculine, which has showed up as this oppressive, you know, kind of white supremacy and patriarchy, and, you know, reintegrating those qualities that have been seen as, you know, detrimental to masculinity, and knowing that those actually support a more well-developed expression of masculinity that helps to liberate people from oppression and helps people, again, grow and be happy and have their needs met. So, you know, tuning into that generosity, the strength and the generosity, and the love.
Yeah, I mean, because it's easy to hear the word masculinity now and be immediately turned off because of the connotations that are attached to toxic masculinity. And I think what would be beneficial, you know, especially, you know, in my own personal life and in the world in general, so within, so without, I suppose, is understanding that masculinity itself is not detrimental to the growth and the betterment and the evolution of society and of our world. You know, when embraced properly and understood, truly understood what it really is. And just like any tool can be used as a weapon, mm-hmm. in like you've explained, through the power and oppression and all this stuff, masculinity has definitely been used in that way, you know, as opposed to what its true strength and, you know, beautiful inherent properties can be. So I'm curious if there are ways for people to be able to identify, because some of these things can flow back and forth so quickly, right? You know, flip from one side to the other so easily. So when it comes to identifying, you know, ways or the masculinity inside of ourselves and understanding how to better use it in our lives, Are there any tips or ways to access a better understanding of utilizing and using our masculinity in a healthy way?
Yeah, I think, the first part of it is bringing our focus to something and making the decision to do something. And I think, going back to the concept of equanimity, it's this sense of calmness, sense of confidence in the face of anything. And I think part of what's been so harsh these recent years is that there's been this interesting projection of people's fears and other people's hopes, right? So and so it seems like those collectively have in a lot of ways brought us to where we are now, the situation. I feel like, as you mentioned, 4 years ago, people were saying that exactly what is happening now is going to happen. And so having the idea that, we all have things that we're afraid of. And those get projected outward often. So we look outside for things to explain those fears and to kind of validate them in a lot of ways. So we can, I think in a lot of ways, people have been like, oh yeah, see, I was right about these things I was afraid of. And it's like, well, why do we want to create things that we're afraid of? Why don't we just make the decision that things are going to be the way that we want them to be? And so I think that can be it's a double-edged sword, but I think that can be a positive masculine trait, is to kind of decide actively, like, this is what I want to see happen, so this is what I'm creating. And so first of all, making that decision that I'm going to identify first, I'm going to slow down enough to where I can tune into what's actually going on with me, so I can actually hear myself think, right? Because we talk about all those different signals that are coming in all the time. So I slow down enough to begin to connect with my breath, connect with the sound of my heartbeat, start to, identify some of these thoughts that when I think about it, they feel right, and they're what I believe in. So starting to identify those things that we believe are important, the things that constitute healthy masculinity, starting to identify those things, and then starting to identify actions that we can take to do that.
Yeah, I think, and it's just so funny to me how it always comes back to, breathing, meditation, getting in touch with yourself. And
yeah.
And I find it so easy to distract myself from those things. Mm-hmm. And have for years. And I know all kinds of friends of mine who they just have a really difficult time trying to meditate. And I don't know the framework and all this other kind of stuff, and I just try to tell people, I also struggle with the same things. I found that certain different types of meditation are easier for me to groove into and be able to engage, actively engage, my mind and, my calmness, stillness. And yet I still avoid those things, even though I know how beneficial they can be. Much in the same way I know, you know, sugar and candy is garbage. But obviously there must be something that I think it's giving me if I will consume it, right? And so being able to like identify, I think, like you said, is, I mean, that's like the big key. Being able to understand the things and also what's inside of us already that, you know, one, that we're capable of doing, and two, that we can, you know, make a commitment to. And I've made all kinds of commitments to self that I've broken. And, you know, and so part of me is like, you know, do these commitments have any weight anymore? And, but like you said, tapping into that masculine energy, the healthy masculine energy, it's like, guess what? If I decide that the commitment has weight in that moment, regardless of how many times I may have failed previously, guess what? It's got some fucking weight now, because I'm creating that. I'm making it so, I, you know, manifesting that as my reality.
Yeah, in meditation, yeah, as you mentioned, it could be tricky for a lot of people. And I think there are a lot of different ways to meditate and to get into a meditative state. So you asked about, you know, maybe some specific things to help connect with masculinity. So I think we could do that through music. Right. So kind of identifying songs that have that feeling, you know, that feels masculine to us. We can get that through literature. We can look at, you know, I do a lot of work with tarot. So there are lots of masculine archetypes in the tarot. So we can meditate with those. We can look at the images. We can begin to read narratives connected with those archetypes, so the mythology and things like that, and begin to even kind of write our own stories. So I think there are a lot of different ways to meditate, but there's something about like getting into that place of, you know, cutting through all these layers that are around the core of who we are. And so, yeah, I mean, that could be done with meditation or with movements, with conversation. But knowing just the importance of that, because I think, as you mentioned, you know, there is something that's nice about and feels good about letting go of all that, letting go of feeling. It's good just to kind of be like, oh, I don't want to feel right now, so I'm just gonna quote distract myself with something, and yeah, that can be really enjoyable. But coming back to the importance of, again, having the structure to go along with. The structure to go along with letting go as well, so that we have somewhere to come back to.
I'm curious about, like, maybe, and we're talking about the archetypes of tarot, and, you know, you mentioned the imagery there and the narratives that go along with it. If someone wants to, like, tap in specifically to a great masculine image or energy to try to incorporate it into their life, into the, just their consciousness and the framework of their being. Is there any specific archetype or energies that you might recommend to someone who wants to try to, you know, either replace or bring into one of these energies?
Absolutely. There are so many in the tarot. One that One that I think is key these days is the Hierophant. Also the Emperor, but I think the Hierophant for sure, because the Hierophant, I think, to me, it emphasizes the connection between the material and the spiritual, which have been, I mean, that's there's been a huge split between those things for, I think, for a long time in a lot of paths. The idea that you know, there's something that the material is profane as opposed to sacred, and that comes back to the way we viewed our bodies and sexuality. We've been conditioned to feel like those things are not sacred, you know, that they are profane, and also that this idea that not everybody has the ability or the empowerment to be spiritual, to make their own spiritual decisions, right? I think with any of the archetypes, they're going to be embodied in some way, like regardless. And there's a spectrum of how they're expressed. And I think that the Hierophant has been, a lot of that energy has been expressed through, you know, like organized religion, and this idea again that we have to kind of look outside of ourselves for these spiritual truths, or we have to look to somebody else. And sure, other people can embody a spiritual teacher for us, but ultimately it's about us kind of discovering that that part of ourselves, that inner guru. I think in magical tradition, it's referred to as knowledge and conversation with one's holy guardian angel. And so I think that archetype is really what can behoove us at this point to create a physical and material world that is sacred, because it does seem to be just, you know, so toxic. And so again, identifying that's a process that we can initiate ourselves, and making the decision to start that process. And again, when we're talking about, you know, masculinity or femininity, the idea again that those aren't exclusive, you know, based on our physical anatomy. We all have access to expressing these different archetypal energies, regardless of the bodies that we've been born into. So the Hierophant can be, you know, that could be a powerful image, I think, for anybody to work with.
And the parallels here are striking to me in many ways to the, you know, the masculine, the feminine, the material, the spiritual, the scientific, and, you know, the paranormal. And we see the divide that you're talking about, the split, and in many ways similar to how the gap between rich and poor grows, the gap between the material and the spiritual also grows, or has been growing in our modern society. And, you know, you could almost, I feel like we could also make the comparison between legitimate and illegitimate, or rational and unrational, or irrational. And so you get these pick a side type dualities, right? And yeah, and they've really played themselves out and found themselves becoming more and more separate from one another. And then that space in between, I guess, would be the liminal space, right? Where I think you can really find, you know, that's where I think where the real magic of trying to tap into both sides is in the middle, right? And, but as that, as those two, let's say they're two sides of a cliff and there's a, you know, a crack in the earth between them that has slowly been widening. For the people that have been having a hand on the material and a hand on the spiritual cliff to keep themselves balanced and floating there in the middle, it becomes more and more difficult as they become further and further apart. And so people feel like they have to choose, do I take my hand off of the material and then swing my body and then just I'm firmly gripped on to the spiritual or the, you know, or the woo, the paranormal, as opposed to the scientific, the material that gets now that gets left behind and we no longer have contact with it. And I think that could be the dangerous part about, you know, putting both hands on the masculine cliff, as masculinity and femininity have found themselves more and more divided.
Yeah. The word that is coming to my mind right now is inclusivity. And the value that everybody can bring to life. And I think, yeah, you were speaking very articulately to the polarization that we've all experienced so much, and that has been just so, you know, even beyond like promoted, you know, just like kind of forced on people. It's just, you know, it's so hard not to, again, want to feel like we have to choose a side and choose one way of being and thinking that these different qualities that we all possess are counter to each other. So we're multidimensional beings, and we have feelings of love, and we also have feelings of being angry at times. And it's finding where those things are, I think, you know, going to lead to the evolution of something, as opposed to again the kind of the oppression, when it's going to lead to liberation. And this is one reason why I love the tantric path so much that we've worked with, because, you know, it really does heal that split between the spiritual and the material, and the mind and the body, and all the different wounding around sexuality, so that we again can know that we don't have to view ourselves in this binary way, this polarized way, and we don't have to view other people in that way, even more importantly. And I think part of what I was getting at as well is that everybody has something to bring. So, you know, the idea of the idea of elders is an awesome idea. People, you know, people that have been around for a long time, they're very wise. There's a value in that, but, you know, wise elders can also learn from younger people, right? So it's knowing that including everybody and having an inclusive paradigm is one that strengthens everybody.
Yeah, that is fascinating to me, because, you know, depending on what bubble you're in and, you know, what ideas and media you consume, you know, these things, you know, ultimately do shape our, you know, our vision of what reality is. And so many times you'll hear, you know, the phrase about like, oh, these old people need to go. And, you know, these outdated ways of thinking, these old people need to just die off already. Or, you know, when you hear people on the extreme saying that. And you seldom, if ever, hear people speaking about elders and wisdom and, you know, the benefits of having those who have lived a long, full life or a long life, the benefits of having them around as, you know, someone to access that, that store of information, that library of experiences they've lived through. And like I said, these conversations might be happening other places and I'm not aware of them, but it doesn't seem like we have that respect for the elders of our communities anymore, at least in general. It's definitely not something that's at the forefront of conversations and of, you know, discussions, you know, about where we should be moving forward and how we should be going about things. I find that interesting. I've never really thought about that until just now. It makes me wonder where the disconnect between that way of life and that way of thinking, you know, where it happened or where it started. Do you think that maybe it's part of that widening gap between material and spiritual, that, you know, the more science stepped up into a position of authority and, you know, the go-to source for knowledge, that the elders have been pushed to the edges, have been pushed further away?
That's a good point. Yeah, I think that, the emphasis on science, as opposed to that the ancient knowledge. So a friend of mine has often been highlighting the idea of perennial knowledge. So the idea that, you know, things that that have always and will always be true. And it seems like, yeah, we've gotten away from the potency of those things. And it seems that, you know, a lot of us are kind of reconnecting with those, but that they've, something about that overemphasis on scientific knowledge has caused that split. And I think that, you know, just looking at it, what's going on, you know, with the planet ecologically, there's been this idea that, well, you know, with science, we can control nature, you know, or we can win, we can beat nature. And it's like, who wants to fight that battle? Like, why don't we just work with nature? Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think that does have a lot to do with it. And then, you know, that the idea of an elder is often someone that knows, that has the stories, right? That knows, that's been around and seen all these things. And it's less about that, that kind of rational, materialistic, you know, kind of a way of holding authority, you know, so as opposed to communicating to someone with a story that is, that's empowering and helps them understand something, as opposed to telling people how things are, right? Just telling people, oh, this is the way that things are going to be. This is the way we decided this is the way that things work. So you just need to kind of conform to what we're saying, as opposed to expanding someone's awareness of what's happening and the different possibilities of the way that, that things can be.
Yeah, I mean, because we always want that answer to all of the questions. We want a specific answer that solves the problem, that is the solution, that is the reason. It satisfies the why or the how. And those, you know, some of those ancient riddles about, you know, the answer is nothing and nowhere, except for whatever it is in any given moment or always changing, is not nearly as satisfying to a materialistically minded person, which we have become so focused on that in our society, that it's these, it's almost like they don't satiate the need for answers. And people will be like, oh, that's stupid, it doesn't make any sense, as opposed to, oh, okay, I have to expand my way of even thinking about the question. What is the question I'm even asking, really? And what are the possibilities of this question, the different things it even really means?
That's a good point. The power of asking a question. And I think part of what people don't like about that is that they're saying they don't know. You know, everybody is like, wants to know everything. It's like, you know, but it's like, there's this power. And yeah, if you go to an elder, often they might not tell you a story. They might just ask you a question, right? Or you ask them something and they'll be like, well, what do you think about it?
Yeah, it's like, I didn't come here for, you know, for deep insight into myself. I just wanted to know A plus B equals what? Come on, tell me.
Tell me what to do. But the power of asking questions. So I feel like this is connected. This is something that I recognized recently that I'm still kind of processing and integrating, but yeah, I'll just go ahead and tell you. Is it okay if I tell a story?
Yeah, yeah, sure. I think maybe we'll wrap things up with this story then.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot this year, and we've talked a lot about relationships, right? And what we're looking for in relationships, and how we're, you know, functioning within them and whatnot. And so I've been exploring how I am in relationship for a long time, and looking at you know, what exactly it is that I want and need in relationships, and finally got to a place where I was like, okay, I think I know what I want. And I think what I'm looking for is a life partnership. And yeah, I'm gonna have these, you know, wants and needs within that, but I want this life partnership. But then what time are we living in right now? Is it like the best time to try to meet someone? I'm like, how am I gonna meet this life partner? So part of me was like, well, it's just not gonna happen. Like, I'm not gonna meet anybody. I'm just gonna, I don't know, or maybe it's gonna happen in a couple of years, or I don't know what, but how am I ever gonna meet anybody? And so I noticed that I was kind of asking this question, and I didn't realize that I was asking the universe, right? It was like, how's this gonna happen? And then it just started happening. It was, and the universe was like, well, this is how it's gonna happen. And I think it was because I asked the question and I was open to it, as opposed to you know, getting caught up in the drama of all the reasons that it couldn't happen. And so I think there is, again, I'm still kind of trying to identify exactly what it is, but I feel like there is this potency as far as kind of creating the things that we want in just asking how would this be possible? And yeah, so that's a very hopeful thing that's emerged. And so I'm playing with that quite a bit now with things where I'm like, oh, I feel like there's kind of a block to this thing happening. Like maybe I just need to ask the universe how it's going to happen.
Yeah, as opposed to trying to solve everything yourself rationally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That gives me a lot of ideas for questions I can be asking on my own end over here. That's really cool. I like thinking about that.
Yeah, and that is kind of leading into, you know, this whole concept of deepening into embodying sacred masculinity, right? So I asked how this was going to happen, you know, we could say that's more of a, we would say a feminine trait, right? Is asking, is being with the mystery of something, you know, like how this is going to happen, as opposed to being like, well, I want this thing, so I'm going to like make this happen. And again, I think we've been conditioned to really just value the making shit happen type thing, instead of in a lot of ways asking for support in making shit happen.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Don't wait for an angel to come tie your shoes. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, for sure. That's been definitely valued over embracing the mystery and being open to the possibilities of how seemingly unsolvable puzzles can be put together and figured out for us.
Yeah. And so now this, this new relationship is emerging, and you know, she is supporting me in embodying masculinity in this sacred way. Yeah, it's this asking. That's part of it too, is asking for what we want, right?
Yeah,
that's a good idea sometimes, right? Again, instead of, you know, like telling other people, you know, saying, you know, this is what I want, and I'm mad because it's not happening. You know, instead of saying, well, I wonder why it's not happening. I wonder how it can happen.
Be open, baby.
Be open, baby.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, Mark, I think this has been, you know, hopefully it's been, you know, enlightening and, you know, shed, you know, opened some doors for people during this, you know, highly pressurized time. As we see, you know, the different versions of toxic masculinity playing themselves out in the public narrative, in many different ways and shapes, and you know, hopefully it, you know, it's definitely given me further insight on how to, you know, really focus my attention on tapping into the healthy masculinity that resides, you know, inside of me, and you know, and also all those around me and the world around me. So do you want to remind people where they can find your website and information?
Yeah, Soul Catalyst Therapies, spelled S-O-L, Latin for sun, Catalyst Therapies. My website, it's got all information on how to kind of contact me and about the different modalities I offer: holistic psychotherapy, psycho-spiritual counsel, and archetypal tantra. And yeah, it's probably the best place to find me. I'm on some of the other interweb places like Instagram and whatnot.
Cool. Yeah, and you know, I've been very grateful for the work we've been doing for over the past year now, and you know, the benefits that I've been reaping from doing that work have been playing themselves out in my life currently as we speak. It's not easy to confront oneself and understand, you know, the, you know, why have these problems been occurring in like in the relationships or other areas of my life. And then, you know, bitter pills to swallow at times, and but then moving through them is, you know, obviously it's a work in progress for all of us, myself included, but the, you know, those hurdles that we can get over by doing work with someone else who can offer us outside perspective like you do for me, and you know, with knowledge that I don't have, has been, it's been really enlightening for me. So yeah, I can't recommend it enough for people. So the so check out the soulcatalysttherapies.com. Get in touch with Mark if you want to touch base, and you know, you and I will be in touch obviously very soon. And as we sit through all this, you know, good luck to everybody out there. I hope you're able to understand that maybe the heightened sense of anxiety and stress you're feeling right now is, it's the outs, you know, you're in a crock pot right now, so don't let your beans explode. If you have to remove yourself from the fire and you know, focus on self, get in touch with self during this time, and you know, try to cool off that way.
That's a good point as well. On, you know, on the other side of the pressure is the enlightenment, is the golden experience, the joy. I don't know if you've noticed that, but often, you know, I notice that when I'm feeling really, really bad, I'm about to feel really, really good.
You're on the precipice. Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot easier to be like, oh yeah, okay, I'm going through something right now, and things are about to get a lot better. So
yeah,
I appreciate everything you've said and the energy that you bring to the work. And yeah, anybody out there, there's so many amazing people to work with these days, you know, and this is another thing, is, you know, asking for help, right? So as young men, we were not really conditioned to ask for help, you know, to go to the doctor, to ask questions, to again, have a heart-to-heart conversation with someone, to speak our truth. So yeah, there's lots of people out there to connect with, and there's lots of healing for all of us to experience.
So. Yeah, for sure. We all need help. So please don't be afraid to ask for it. So thanks again, buddy. Appreciate that. I want to give a quick shout out to the patrons. Thank you so much. Patreon.com/RyanSinger. You can watch the video of this interview. I'll be posting this as soon as I get it edited. You know, probably before we even know who wins the election. I'm just going to put this up immediately for release. And then, I hope to see you. I'll be at Wiley's Comedy Club in December 18th and 19th in Dayton, Ohio, depending on what the world looks like at that point, as far as, you know, what the regulations, whatever's going to be in place. Everything's, you know, moving and shaking. So we never quite know. So, you know, obviously check my website, RyanSingerComedy.com. My calendar will have updated dates. But thanks again, Mark, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care.